I've got four here
for you. House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 17, 2016, the eighth day of the session. Deadlines looming. Last day for bills to be reported out of committee is tomorrow, Thursday, February 18th. Last day for Committee of the Whole in the House of Origin is Friday, the 19th. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker. Here. Baldwin. Baldwin. Barlow. Here. Berger. Here. Blackburn. Here. Blake. Here. Burkhart. Burkhart excused. Bird. Here. Campbell. Here. Kennedy. Here. Clem. Here. Connolly. Here. Dayton. Here. Edmonds. Here. Edwards. Eklund, Escobel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Greer excused, Halverson, Harshman, Harshman excused, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Moniz excused, Nicholas, Nicholas excused, Northrup, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Stubson, Stubson excused, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. 54 present, 6 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered by Pastor Roger Whitmore, representing Cheyenne Hills Church.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I first just want to give thanks for the House and for their dutiful service. God, you talk throughout your scriptures about noble tasks, and they are handling a noble task. And as we come to the middle of the week, God, I pray that you would give them an extra dose of your comfort. You tell us, God, in your word that our help comes from you. And so, God, I pray that you would be the sustaining help they need to get kind of over this hump and to the end of the week to cover the things that are a part of their agenda. And God, to be dutiful in their service to our state. Thank you for the job they're doing. God, for the big role that they play for us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Play ball!
Here, I'll help. You know, I just like just one. With all of those amendments,
wouldn't that be fun? Just one time. Hi, Wendy. I'll take another one, even if you did.
Journal report.
Your journal committee reports that the journal of February 16, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz.
The doctor of the day is Beth Robitaille, I hope I'm saying that right, from Casper, and Mark Babcock from Casper, and the nurse of the day is Cynthia Labonde from the Wyoming State Board of Nursing. Please welcome them to the House. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Brothers and sisters, isn't it great that what a nice family we have here, all of us going around and having a good time together? Not everyone does. And so if you would turn your attention, please, to the gallery, folks, I would like us to welcome the Wyoming Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault and all the local direct services that provide services to people who don't have it as good as we do every day. Out in the back.
Representative Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Just a quick reminder to everyone. I know you're not hungry now because you all just had lots of donuts, but I wanted to remind everybody about the University of Wyoming WAMI luncheon this afternoon from noon to 1:45 down at the Cheyenne Depot. Chance to meet with the WAMI, or what I call the double WAMI students, and the University of Wyoming and the University of Washington leadership. So don't eat anything between now and then so you're hungry. Thank you.
Next order of business is Senate files on first reading. First file for our consideration is Senate File 46. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 46 from Judiciary, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act. You don't want that one. Yeah, take that
one. Senate File 46 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 20. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 20 from Senator Peterson, an act relating to sales and use tax.
Senate File 20 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 14.
Senate File 14 from Education, an act relating to education.
Senate File 14 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Next file for our consideration is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31 from Water, an act relating to water development projects.
Senate File 31 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Agriculture. Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 31. The reading clerk will read the bill. 38, I'm sorry. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 38 from Corporations, an act relating to the administration of government.
Senate File 38 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 42. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 42 from Corporations, an act relating to professions and occupations.
Senate File 42 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 8 from the Travel Committee, an act relating to highway, bicycle, and pedestrian safety.
Senate File 8 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Next file for our consideration is Senate File 3.
Senate File 3 from Transportation, an act relating to veterans.
Senate File 3 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 33.
Senate File 33 from Transportation, an act relating to motor vehicles.
Senate File 33 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 23. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 23 for Minerals, an act relating to environmental quality.
Senate File 23 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 28. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 28 for Minerals, an act relating to environmental quality.
Senate File 28 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 43. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 43 from Labor, an act relating to the authority of the Department of Workforce Services.
Senate File 43 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor Health. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 57. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 57 from Labor, an act relating to public health and safety.
Senate File 57 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor Health. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 61.
Senate File 61 from Labor, an act relating to labor and employment.
Senate File 61 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor Health. The next order of business is reports from standing committees.
House Bill 27 from the Management Council, your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom referred House Bill 27, Legislative Oversight, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Brown, Connolly, Hunt, Larson, Madden, Moniz, Northrup, Petroff, Stebson, Throne, Walters, one excuse, Representative Greer, signed by Speaker Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom is referred House Bill 29, Revisers Bill, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Brown, Connolly, Hunt, Larson, Madden, Moniz, Northrup, Petroff, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Representative Greer excused, signed by Speaker Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom referred House Bill 30, Obsolete Laws, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Brown, Connolly, Hunt, Larson, Madden, Moniz, Northrup, Petroff, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Greer excused, signed by Speaker Brown, Chairman. House Bill 50 from the Management Council, your Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 50, Appropriation for the Legislature, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation to do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Brown, Connolly, Hunt, Larson, Madden, Moniz, Northrup, Petroff, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Greer excused, signed by Speaker Brown, Chairman.
We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 1. The reading clerk will read the bill. Oh, House Bill 1 is the budget bill. We'll move it down. All right. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 9. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 9 from Representative Blake, an act relating to motor vehicle license plates.
House Bill 9, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to move. The next bill is House Bill 31. There's an amendment coming. I'm going to move it to the bottom. So the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 35. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 35 from Corporations, an act relating to insurance.
House Bill 35, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Representative Mann.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move by Rule 7-3 that we lay back House Bill 51 one day.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 51 is laid back one day. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 52. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 52 from Appropriations, an act relating to school facility projects.
There is an amendment. Chairman Northrup, take your time. Take your time and hurry every chance you get.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Second Amendment number 1 to House Bill 52 and look for your favorable recommend or your favorable help on it. Excuse me. This amendment effectively deletes the task force, which is Section 2. And as that task force looks at the school facilities, again, it seems like it's just a repetition. We have already got School Facilities Commission going on it, and so I just think that we're just duplicating and spending money that we don't need to be doing, and would ask for your support. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanzer, Dave, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, stand in support of this removal of the task force. Basically, what the task force is tasked with doing is to study the public school construction and operations, including finding stable and reliable funding options. And folks, how it works now is that we have a department, the School Facilities Department. They are overseen by the School Facilities Commission. And then that list and recommendations go down to the Select Committee on School Facilities. And then after that, it goes through the Appropriations Committee, and then it finally ends up in this body. The task force, to me, seems to duplicate everything that we do. We're looking for new funding streams, and I would suggest to you that we have some of the best people in the state already looking at every available funding stream, from the ones on our Appropriation Committee to our LSO staff to folks in the governor's office. This task force is going to be made up of a lot of the legislators and then some folks out of the private industry. So everything that we look at, we have a Department of Education that looks at things that help the students. So everywhere that I look, I find that the best experts we already have and can call to our attention. So I would ask for an aye vote on the amendment, yes, to get rid of the task force.
Representative Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I stand in support of this amendment. It is a redundancy, and it is just, I think, piling on more top-down. It's really a top-down approach to what is already a very complicated process, and we don't need another layer of supervision in this.
Chairman Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking against the amendment, I think, first of all, this is not a supervision-type task force I was just referencing. I appreciate the bringer of the amendment so we can talk about this. And I really appreciate bringing it, frankly. But I think it's not a supervisory task force. I mean, we're sent here to vote. That's what we'll do. But I think you got to get people involved. And that's the spirit behind this. And I think part of the criticism of us is, hey, they're just down there kind of doing their own thing, and, you know. And so I think the deal is to get real taxpayers and our constituents involved and spread some knowledge of this problem. Yeah, we already know that. We don't need to meet. I think Revenue Committee's already got ideas. But I think it's about getting the word out how really we're kind of, particularly with facilities, divorced from paying any of it. And then I think, I think we're probably going to be all right on operations if we can ride these next few years out. But I think we got to get the word out on facilities, and this has got to be a big conversation. To say that we're just going to come down and we got all the ideas and we're going to just kind of run this deal, I don't think it's going to happen. I think you're going to need support of your constituents and your people. So I'd urge a no vote. And if we want to make this better, I think you can make it better. We took the first kind of bite at the apple in committee, but I don't know. I just think a couple meetings to get the word out and kind of brainstorm with some people I think would be good. I don't think there's any harm in it, so I'm going to vote no. Thank you.
Representative Freeman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope that you can see yourself to vote for this amendment. I'm on the Education Committee. Every time we have a meeting, we have all the districts show up. My guess is that the Revenue Committee has all sorts of different organizations that show up. We already have heavily involvement with school districts. Most of the school districts I know are finding some way to do the enhancements. I don't think we need a new task force. I think we just need to use the ones that we have to the best benefit.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Swann or Sir Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In favor of the amendment, and I've looked over this, and you have five layers of bureaucracy, and you want to add a task force, and it makes no sense to me why we need it, so I would strongly encourage you to pass this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Swann or Sir Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And as you look down who is on the task force, it includes the legislators. It includes a person from the governor's office and from the Department of Education and from the School Facilities Department and the Department of Revenue. So we are going to put three representatives from the state of Wyoming on it. And I just don't know how this task force is going to get the word out. We try to get the word out. I think the whole state is very aware of what we're facing in school facilities with our COLEs bonuses going away. So I just think we have this covered and recovered and covered again. So I would ask for a favorable vote on this, but definitely in favor of the bill.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, as you've heard, that the different layers that are on the school facilities is very deep and numerous, and we have lots of chances to get people involved in this. The districts themselves, whenever they decide to have put in a building or they're asked to put in a building, have charrettes. These charrettes bring local people in, and that's another good time that this can be disseminated, the information can be disseminated. There's lots of times to be able to talk about information of what's going on with school facilities to happen, and I just ask for your favorable support in this amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment to House Bill 52. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 52 is passed. House Bill 52 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 53. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 53 from Corporations, an act relating to the administration of government.
House Bill 53 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 60. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 60 from Labor, an act relating to institutions of the state.
House Bill 60 having been read two separate times, the question... There's an amendment to House Bill 60? No, but you can. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I make a motion to lay this back one day?
You may make that motion, so make your motion.
I make a motion to lay it back one day. On House Bill number, second reading of House Bill number 60.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 60 is laid back one day. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 87. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 87 from Representative Kinner, an act relating to school finance.
House Bill 87, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 2. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution 2 from Representative Blake, a joint resolution recognizing the contributions of Kenny Sailors to the game of basketball.
House Joint Resolution having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 4. The reading clerk will read the resolution.
House Joint Resolution 4 from Representative Somers, a joint resolution requesting Congress to enact legislation to remove the gray wolf and grizzly bear populations from listing under the Endangered Species Act.
House Joint Resolution having been read, Resolution number 4 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 31. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 31 from Corporations, an act relating to Uniform Securities Act.
There is an amendment. Representative Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I would move second reading amendment to House Bill 31 and ask for your favorable support. Folks, this is pretty simple. As you recall, this is the Uniform Securities Act. The purpose of this amendment is, you recall, in the act as presented, they want one new full-time employee in the Secretary of State's office. And so the purpose of this is to fund, essentially, that position. These fees haven't been raised since, I believe, 1964. So we're increasing the fees from $35 to $45 for individuals and $50 for firms. And what happens, even though it says it's special revenues, when those special revenues are not spent, then at the end of the biennium, they revert back into the general fund. And those general funds then help support our general budget and what we're going to do on House Bill number 1 coming up next in second reading. So what the whole purpose of this is say, look, if you want to modify the Uniform Securities Act and you want to hire a new employee, then let's pay for it by those folks who are those investment advisors and those folks, and not put it on the burden of us, of the taxpayers, to fund it. So it's very simple, very straightforward. It just raises the fees so that at the end of each biennium, those additional funds will revert back into the general fund.
Chairman Zwanisser, Dan, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Neither strongly in favor or opposed, just some clarification. So these are the fees we charge broker-dealers and stockbrokers and investment advisors, which we're bringing into the act. I think the last time these actual fees were raised on stockbrokers was the early 90s. But the actual act has been around since 65, that is generally unchanged. So, you know, other states are a little bit above us nationwide. I think there is some trepidation we heard in the committee in the interim that a lot of people, stockbrokers around the nation, want to be licensed in every state, and so they may not even have a client in Wyoming, but they may go ahead and pay our $35 fee just so they can say, hey, we're in every state. And so there is probably a threshold point we're going to hit when they say, well, is it worth it or not? I don't know if raising the fees $10 after 20 years is that magic point. So policy decision for the body, everything else was correct. This is a special revenue fund of $350,000 the Secretary of State's office gets to keep. The other almost $9 million goes back in the general fund. So I'm happy to answer any questions. Vote your conscience.
Representative Byrd, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just for the information of the body, this would raise almost $920,000 in extra fees. Just so you know what the end result of this would be.
Representative Barlow, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So my question is, I understand the intent of this amendment. My question is, do the current fees pay for the salaries of the employees that are doing these services now? So are we already ahead with the current fees, or are these fees actually necessary because we're going to have a shortfall for these for this new position? Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer the former question, no, I don't think we're facing any type of shortfall. We're actually raising more revenue, being the last state that's adding investment advisors into our Securities Act. And so we're anticipating, you know, another $1 million of revenue in doing so. And so we can raise the fees a little bit more this year, if that's the body's will. I think that we just didn't want to change too much around too quick on people. Maybe my only concern is that when we advertised, I guess I shouldn't say advertised, when we put this out to comment over the summer and checked with, you know, over 400 insurance advisors, we did kind of say at the time that the Act was not going to raise the fees. And so we did, you know, put this bill out across the state with the general belief that in the bill we weren't raising the fee above what the current fee was. But so there was some type of, I shouldn't say promise on behalf of the legislature, but in doing the bill, we didn't see in the interim that a fee increase was needed at the time. And so it may surprise some of your investment advisors and stockbrokers around the state if we raise the fees during session that they weren't anticipating. Whether $10 is going to make them overly angry or not, I don't know. But check with your local stockbroker and find out.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To me, this is really a simple exercise. If we're going to add a new state employee and all the duties and responsibilities that go with it, if there's any way, and that person is going to perform a function that is exclusively for the benefit of stockbrokers and investment advisors, then they should pay for that person. And they estimate that there may be a bunch of more folks that sign up and will have more revenues. We don't know that. But what we do know is this fee hasn't gone up in 20-plus years, that it's going to cost more money. We're going to add one new person, another office, everything else we have to do for another employee for the Secretary of State's office, and those folks should pay for that person, and they don't want to pay for it. This takes care of that, and if anything, in the worst-case scenario, if everything they said was right, then we're going to add another $500,000 or maybe $200,000 to our annual biennium budget to help take care of our deficit. But I think we have an obligation when we start adding personnel, if we can fund it through those individual entities or the agencies and the folks that are out there that we're supporting, they should pay their fair share of that position. So I request your support.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 31. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 is passed. House Bill 31, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of housekeeping. You should have a purple sheet. Looks like this. That's the order that we're going to do second reading amendments on the budget bill. Not the orange one, the purple one. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 1. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 1, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2016, and ending June 30th, 2018.
There are amendments. The First Amendment for our consideration is Second Reading Amendment number 46. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's mischief, and we need to get a handle on it. I would like to move second reading amendment to House Bill 1, Amendment number 46. It's time that we get a handle on this. The Labor Committee has looked at this subject ad nauseum. We asked for a cost study. The cost study was a circular study. They took the money that was in the program and reallocated it to different services that were provided by the division through the waiver. The policies are ever-changing. The policies are not established by rule, but by memo sent out. The people that partake of these services are kind of put into different classes of severity, and they number them 1 through 6. And some of them are 3.8. And it used to be that if it was above 5, 3.8 was a 4. Now through a memo, they've changed that back to where there are 3. And that determines budget amounts. It determines how many services they can receive. And so through a memo, that was changed. But it's changed partway through the year. There are memos that are continually brought on. One of the things that happens is through the rating of the severity of the disability, an individual budgeted amount is established. And yesterday there was a gentleman in the hall that was passing out papers that talked about the IBA, the individual budgeted amount, and what the division decided was appropriate to provide the services for that person. And then the second column says traditional services, and it is what they were actually allowed to bill. And so the third column is case management. Case management, it seems to be pretty constant. It goes up or down maybe a couple of $100. And the fourth column, I think, is the most interesting, and it says amounts remaining. At the end of the second page, this provider was unable to capture $708,000 of individual budgeted amounts because of the memos that changed the rules, that changed the distribution. So some of the things that are necessary for this person, the provider is not allowed to bill for. When we did the facility study, we recognized that in Lander, at the Life Resource Center, there was a legacy population, people who had been there all their lives, people who had were medically fragile, people who had disabilities that were pretty severe. And we recognized that because they were a legacy population and very likely to change or handle change very well, that we would just leave them at the level of service they have in the home that they have. Now, that has not happened in the waiver program. No recognition of the legacy population has been acknowledged. So if the new direction is that we get everybody to work, involved in their community and out and about, you're talking about people that are over 60 that are required to be in the community 3 to 4 hours a day, whether they want to or not. And if they are not out in the community, then there are no reimbursement rates for the person that stays home. And so because they can't leave them unsupervised, it requires a division or splitting up their staff to do different things. So we've tried, we've heard lots and lots of testimony about this, and even in the cost study, they changed the rates for different services. They created what's called incentive payments, which are great. We do want to go in a new direction. And for the younger people that are in the waiver program, it's awesome. We want them out and about in their community. We want them volunteering. We want them working. We want them to be a part of society because it's normal. So this amendment is budget neutral. But I wanted to get the attention of the Department of Health and say, listen, we want this fixed. We have providers that are losing up to $1.5 million per year. And through their hard work, they have saved money over the years. They have worked hard to keep things in at an even keel and be able to provide services in lean times, in good times, but now their savings are being depleted. So this, going straight to the amendment, it's talking about on page 6, after line 12, and this is the governor's budget, of this general fund appropriation, $2,600,000 shall be appropriated to a bankruptcy contingency fund. Amounts in the fund shall be used to keep adult developmental disability residential providers that are unable to fund ongoing operations. It allows this money to be used to keep them afloat. Because if the ones that go out of business, if the ones that are short on money go out of business, we do not have capacity in Lander to care for these people. We're talking about a lot of people. So the governor can release the funds to the Medicaid program in the Department of Health as necessary to keep specific bankrupt residential providers in operation. And then the Medicaid program shall only extend these funds out of this footnote with advice from the Attorney General. We wanted to put lots of safeguards in there. And so you can see on page 28, line 4, we take $600,000. That is from the Director's Office, $1 million from Public Health, and $1 million from the Department of Aging. And then we turn around on page 2 of the amendment and say, if at any time the director of the Department of Health certifies to the governor that the funds appropriated to the Office of the Governor for Bankruptcy Contingency Fund will not be expended, the governor shall transfer the amounts in the contingency fund back to the director, to the Department of Aging and to the Department of Public Health. So the governor's in control of the money. The governor can take this money and put it back in the Department of Health as soon as we know that there are providers that are on the brink, that they will be able to survive this, weather this storm. You'll see two more amendments coming. I would ask for your favorable consideration of this amendment. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, and I certainly appreciate the Chairman of Labor bringing this because I think she points out a number of problems that we need to address and a number of struggles that our community providers are having around the state, but this, I would submit, is the exact wrong way to deal with those struggles. And you can think, the good chairman of revenue often talks about moral hazard, and I think if you want Exhibit A of what moral hazard is, you look at this amendment, because you can imagine yourself as a community provider, you're struggling to make ends meet, you're faced with maybe choice of cutting your budget and making some hard choices, or now all of a sudden there's a $2.6 million slush fund in the governor's office that, well, if you pull the trigger and just go into bankruptcy, that would be available to you. So it creates a huge incentive to go bankrupt for community providers. It creates a pool of money that's only available once you do go bankrupt. And then it has no requirements for reporting. It has no requirements that you change your program. All it has is requirements that you actually get access to additional money because you've gone bankrupt. And like I say, I think that is the exact wrong way to deal with this situation. There are problems, and we need to deal with them, but we need to deal with them in a way that builds up providers, that makes sure that they live up to their financial responsibilities, not one that incentivizes them to run for the shelter of bankruptcy.
Representative Halverson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in strong support of this amendment. It might need some fixing on third reading, but it sends a message and holds accountable to this state that these providers shall remain in business with as little financial strain as can be expected for anyone who serves this community. Please vote aye. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The this is an issue that's pretty near and dear to me. I everything that the good representative from the Bighorn Basin I found to be accurate, except the methodology on how we're going to get there. And to me, if you want to send, you need to send a message to the governor, because the governor is really kind of in control of that agency to direct and to find out ways to work with healthcare DD providers so that the new rules and regulations and the way that they administer the program does so in a way that allows these folks to survive. And I'm looking at the criteria here. You know, that one of the largest one of these folks up in the center of the state in the land of the Wind River, they've been running on a negative for probably the last 2 or 3 years, and so they'd automatically qualify for these fundings. And I would submit that this, if we want to wake up the Department of Health and we want to wake up the governor, there are ways to do it through statutes, through various different ways where we force them. And one of them is another bill that's coming up on the recalibration of what you pay these folks. But to create a bankruptcy fund, the logic of it, I just lose the concept of what we need to do to fix the problem. So I'm on in favor of the concept of making sure that the department operates and functions so a way that these folks and the providers can treat the participants the best way possible and in an economic fashion. But by creating a bankruptcy fund, just to me, that almost kind of we lose the problem in terms of the solution.
Representative Barlow, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, there's been a couple of statements. I don't think there's very many of us in this room, with a couple exceptions, that can imagine ourselves as providers and the challenges that these folks deal with. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is not about vulnerable money. This is about vulnerable citizens in our state and providing them the services that they require. And this is the message, because this message is being sent and this money is being transferred to the chief executive who can make some changes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think on three accounts, this is the most vulnerable folks. This is the message. And very few of us can imagine what it is to be in the circumstances that these people are in and the jobs that they do. Thank you very much for the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am just so grateful for the conversation. And I think that there are some things that are not in this amendment that certainly I've taken notes about what needs to be in the third reading amendment, and one of those will be reporting. It just seems to me that all of their records are so transparent. They have to stay above board with, the providers have to stay above board with all of the money they collect, with all of the money that they spend, because they're accountable to Medicaid, and they are susceptible or accountable to Medicaid fraud. These companies cannot go bankrupt because they choose to. These companies have taken their wages. You know, there is $4 difference between what is paid a state employee doing a similar job and what is being paid by the community providers. $4 difference. And so they are always held accountable to the services that they provide. They're dictated by the rules, by the memos, as to what they can spend and where they can spend it. There's no way that they can fraud the IBA. It is what it is. But the division continually makes it difficult for them to draw down the full individualized budget amount that was set aside for a person with the type and the level of disability that they have. So this may not be perfect, but I think that we need to send a strong enough message that they will take us seriously and fix this problem. These providers have been in business for years and years. They have done a service for the state. They bailed us out when we were in the Anna Maria Weston lawsuit. We were ordered by the court to establish and maintain community providers, a place where people could go. Although we're not under the direction of the court anymore, we still have a moral obligation to take care of people who cannot take care of themselves. I would urge an aye vote on the amendment, and we'll work on it again, third reading.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 46 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 46 is passed. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 1. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this amendment does, if you go to page 5 on your bill, it's going to put back in the funding for the tribal liaison. And I'm not sure what the conversation was in JAC, as I had to work for the railroad. Couldn't make it down, but I'd love to have been there. I think part of the problem was we didn't get both positions filled soon enough. The vetting process on the tribal liaison is very extensive. We finally got both of those filled. And I know the governor's office wanted this personnel, so I don't know if they didn't quite get them both filled in a timely manner. But I think it's kind of a bad message to send. We just get both these members vetted, both these liaisons vetted for both tribes, and now we're saying, okay, yeah, it's just for a little while, make your report, and then we'll think about it later. So I would like to ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Allen, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also rise in support of this amendment. This program has not had a chance to see how well it works yet because we just passed the revised bill for tribal liaisons a year ago. And the Arapaho tribal liaison just came on the payroll 2 weeks ago. So he has not had a chance to prove his or to be evaluated by us or by the governor. But in that tribal, or actually it was Senate File 50 last year that we passed, and what it did is it outlined the deliverables for these liaisons. And so let's let this program have a chance to succeed. Let's restore the funding. I would urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would say the Appropriations Committee absolutely agrees with what was just said, and that's exactly what we did. We put in 1 year's funding so that pursuant to the Bill 50 last year, that they will provide a report to us and to the governor's office so we can find out what the folks are doing, if in fact they're doing the deliverables and performing a task that they've been requested to do by the governor and by us. We gave them 1 year funding, and so by next December, they'll be able to come back to appropriations and to whomever and to the governor's office and demonstrate those deliverables. And at that point in time, the next year, if they did it to sufficient satisfaction of us, and also to you, by the way, because that'll come in front of you, then we'll continue the funding. Our problem was we asked them for two or three years in a row to provide the deliverables. They didn't fill the positions, and they didn't provide the reports. So we're just holding their feet to the fire and say, okay, you're welcome to be part of the program and be liaisons to the governor's office. We simply want to know what you're doing and if you're going to provide those deliverables, and that's what this does. It just provides one-time funding.
Chairman Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to really be clear on this, and I appreciate the good representatives bringing this amendment, and we did not eliminate or propose to cut this program. We just provided one-year funding because there's been a little uncertainty in the program, and as you mentioned, just hired one of the liaisons. And so we said, well, let's just do this 1 year. We'll be back here. Nobody's going to be out any payments or any contracts. The contract that was just let 2 weeks ago will move on, but we'll have a chance to evaluate it. And that was the idea behind it. And we do that a lot with programs that there's some questions, and we want to make sure that we just don't even, if not, we won't even discuss this next year, and we won't really even know. We won't know what's happened, whether a report or any of those things. So, come back. I don't think anybody's anti this program on the committee. It was just the fact of the evaluation of it. So I'd urge your no vote.
Representative Barlow, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. And I think there's going to be a lot of feet to the fire, sounds like, theme will be the theme for second reading amendments. And I think that the good chairman just actually pointed out that the same opportunity will be there after the report next year, and if the report is negative, then they can pull the money back. So actually, I would say, if you want to build continuity, you want to build a program that looks like it has a future, you don't cut it off in the beginning. You evaluate it, you fund it, and evaluate it in the middle, and then if it's not performing, then you may take some different action. So on and for the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, just on the basic principle that this is a brand new deal that we passed last year. Let's vet it. Let's let this piece of legislation that we passed as a body go through and be vetted. If it's not working after that, then we can revisit it. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So December 1st, the Shoshone liaison did provide a report as specified in Senate File 50, which is one of the deliverables, to the Select Tribal Relations Committee in Lander on the last year. And that is how the bill reads, and he did. And it was impressive. He did a good job. We applauded him for that. But at that time, there wasn't even an Arapaho liaison, because the selection process was moving forward. So, again, I would just urge you to vote for this amendment. Thank you very much.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just ask that you support this bill. Let's let the intended legislation move forward. And thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one of House Bill 1 has failed. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. Second reading, amendment number one, the House Bill 1 has failed. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1, Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This amendment deletes the footnote in the Governor's Office under Homeland Security, lines 4 through 9 on page 6 was the Lifesaver program. And I just got an update yesterday about how this program was working. And yesterday we talked about policy. And remember when the comment was made, well, we have a policy. It's 31 votes on this side and 16 on the other side. And we just did that right toward the end of last session. So we cut that budget in half when it was on the Senate side. And that $125,000 was granted out to seven other counties already. And I remember some of the debate last year, oh, no one's going to apply for these grants. It's just going to sit there. No one's going to do anything with it. Well, actually, they did work on rules and regs for the program for about the first 4 months. They started giving these grants out. So now there's like $6.80 left from that additional funding. So what the footnote does is it restricts the Department of Homeland Security to only give out $75,000 more in grants. So that would mean, based on how much money the counties have received so far, only four more counties over the next biennium would be able to get grants. So most of the counties that haven't got grants now are the smaller counties that can't afford it out of their budgets. You've all heard from your county commissioners. You've heard from your sheriffs. They're on tight budgets. And like I said, this is a grant program. It's saving lives. It's doing good work out in our communities, and it should continue.
Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Is there in for a second?
Representative Gurr, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge the body to resist this amendment. If you'll recall, this was a new program. Initially, it came in, I think, was somewhere around $250,000 in funding. Now, funding was cut by this body last year to $125,000. The program went out. The testimony is true that after a while, these funds that were appropriated were stood up. But the testimony was is that the need was around this $75,000. This cut wasn't arbitrary. It was a cut to match up the expected need with the program. And that's why you see it in the budget the way it is.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, this amendment is about whether we look at this program again or not. That's really what this is doing, and so it removes the footnote that we said that this wouldn't be a standard budget item, basically, wouldn't be included. So if you pass this, regardless of the funding amount, you know, you won't look at this again. It'll be rolled into the standard budget. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Blake, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just am thinking back on the testimony we heard, and it was heart-wrenching. People losing their way with Alzheimer's and being able to find them. This is a lifesaver bill. So let's keep that funding in there, please.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to speak a little bit about the program. You're looking at about $15,000 to $17,000 per county that was appropriated to set up this program. Realistically, compared to some of the other programs we see, this is a fairly cheap program. You're talking about wristbands that cost, you know, $4.50. The biggest expense in this is the consoles that they set up at the sheriff's station, that they set up in the car so they can locate these people. It's a pretty small expense to be able to find people in a quick and a timely manner, which saves on the long run instead of having a lot of people out searching. We recently had a situation in my district where someone went missing, heartbreaking situation. 3 hours later in a snowstorm, that person was found, but it was too late. And so if we can turn that time around from a three-hour situation to minutes, we're saving money for the state, we're saving money for the counties, and overall, this program, it's a money saver, and it's a good deal, and it's cheaply done. So I'd ask you to vote in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Gurr, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was gone yesterday, and it feels like I missed a week, so I'm trying to get caught back up. Wow. That tells you just how fast we move. one day removed, and it feels like I haven't been here for a week. But, hey, this footnote, as the good chair of JIC said, has nothing to do with the funding level. Pull this footnote out, and the funding level remains the same. This footnote has to do strictly with looking at this program again at the end of the budget cycle, at the end of the biennium. So that's what this does. We want this in here to look at this program to see how it's being utilized again. So it doesn't roll in and just become another part, another program that we roll down the road. In these times, this is what we're trying to do. I'm not going to debate the importance of that program. I heard the heart-wrenching testimony a year ago. What we want to do, though, is look at, do we need to evaluate this program again in 2 years? Is it being utilized? Is the money going where it needs to go? Is the amount necessary? Is it the appropriate amount? That's what this footnote does. So with that in mind, I'd ask you to defeat the amendment so the footnote stays in here and we can look at it and evaluate it again.
Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, obviously it's being utilized. It was just passed this legislation, and now already all the money was gone. Now, if you leave it at a restriction of only $75,000, then that's probably going to only get three more, maybe four more counties covered. So if you look at the cost of search and rescue and how proactive this is about saving money, I think that it should stay in the standard budget. And for that purpose, that right now these grants are for training, getting the counties up in training. So when they come back in 2 years, the standard budget will probably be $50,000 maybe, and that's just going to be for the ongoing costs of the equipment. So most of the grant money now is in the training. Yes, there's small amounts in there for the equipment. Let's keep the money, the program going. Let's get the other counties up and going. It's only been 8 months, so I think it's been very successful, and I urge your aye vote.
We're voting on second reading amendment 2 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Amendment, second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1 has failed. Division being called. All in favor stand. Those opposed stand. More than 17. Second reading amendment number 2 has failed. It's my pleasure to welcome Senator John Brasso back to the Wyoming legislature. As you know, Senator Brasso served in the legislature from 2002 until 2007 before being sworn into the United States Senate. He's currently serving on the Senate's Energy and Natural Resources Committee, the Environment and Public Works Committee, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and as chairman of the Indian Affairs Committee. He also serves as chairman of the Senate Republican Policy Committee and as chairman of the Senate Western Caucus. Please join me in welcoming home United States Senator John Brasso.
Well, thanks so much for having me back. I love being back, although I actually have never been in this building before. It is wonderful to be back, though, with the legislature. I had a chance to meet with a number of you about a week and a half ago at the conference. And, I think what it says about Mike and Cynthia and I, who all had the privilege, and we consider it a privilege to serve in the Wyoming legislature, how much respect we have for the institution and the lessons that we learned here. We think there's nothing like legislative experience. We have all benefited from it immensely. And I've served with so many of you. It is interesting when we talk about the AML money and getting it back. It was the lessons that we learned here in the legislature that had us working together. Mike is the captain of the team, coming up with a strategy, not making a lot of press about it, but going around talking to different people, getting people understanding the process, why the money belonged to the people of Wyoming, why it had to come back, and then finding the legislative vehicle to attach it to get it done. Mike called the play. I was lucky enough to be on the conference committee.
to get it in, and then Cynthia is only one out of 435 members of the House to making sure that it stayed in all the way through. But we believe that our legislative experience and then coming home to Wyoming as we do just about every weekend, as we joke, not necessarily to our own home or our own house, but home to Wyoming, is what really makes the difference, and we're really going to miss Cynthia. After we visited that Sunday, that next night, Mike and I had one of those telephone town hall meetings where we call across the state, talk to people in different communities. And, you know, it was the same thing we talked about at the legislative conference just the day before. They wanted to talk about the president's budget, the budget that never balances, and the excess spending and taxes and the $10 a barrel tax on oil. They wanted to talk about different things happening with the so-called Clean Power Plan and the Supreme Court decision to stay that, the same things that we had talked about. And then one guy, he didn't want to talk to me, he didn't want to talk to Mike, he asked if we could patch the call along to Al Simpson, which shows they can keep you humble here in Wyoming no matter who you are and what you're doing. Today I hope many of you get to the luncheon that's going to be held for the WAMI, the medical students, their 21st year medical students. And I want to congratulate you for continuing to fund that program, investing in the way that we do, and the foresight of the setting it up. It's now 20 students a year. There are 11 women, 8 men. That's the future of medicine. And the best way to keep doctors in Wyoming long term is to take the best and the brightest from among our students and get them in these programs to then go and get the education and then come on home to live and to practice medicine and to raise the family. So I hope you get a chance to be with each and every one of them today. They're terrific. All 20 of them are going to be at lunch. Finally, we have the interns around, and I'm going to go meet with the interns and the pages. You know, they're eager, they're enthusiastic, they're bright-eyed. Right now, we have 33 men and women serving in Afghanistan. And the commander of the troops on the ground is a guy named Marcus Nyman. He was there. He'd previously been deployed to Iraq. Previously, we knew him through, you know, University of Wyoming, before that, Boys State, and before that, Zwanitzer's back there shaking his head because you're there every year helping these young men in their training, and before that, he was here as a page in the Wyoming legislature. So, I mean, you talk about the path from these pages and the interns and the young people who come here, work, dedicate their time, they're going places as well. So you never know which one of them, those young folks, what they're going to be. It's a future governor, future legislator, future person keeping us safe, keeping us free. Anyway, it's wonderful to be back here. I hope to see many of you at lunch. I would just say God bless you, God bless Wyoming, God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
On behalf of the Wyoming Legislature, we wish you to continued success serving in the state of Wyoming and the United States Senate. Thank you, Senator Barrasso, for taking time to visit with us today. Representative Steinmetz.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
I'd like you to all turn your attention to our fishbowl, and we have the Trail Elementary School from Torrington, Wyoming, with Mrs. Fulmer. Please give them a warm welcome.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Back in the aquarium, I've got one of my former classmates, the former editor of the Branding Iron, is here today with his reporting students from LCCC's Wingspan Student Media Program, Jake Sherlock and his students. So if you could welcome them to the House.
The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1, Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With that, I would like to move second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. We've heard the compelling testimony about what a great program this is, and I'm not disagreeing with the advantages this program provides, however, this is a simple growth in government, and it's a creep in government because it's a small appropriation that will continue on and on into the future. This program can be paid for through the counties and by the counties very simply because it can come out of their search and rescue budget. They simply have fewer searches, fewer rescues, because they have these lifesaver bracelets and programs set up in place. So what this amendment does, it deletes the footnote discussing it, and it decreases the general fund appropriation out of the budget. And so it's a short-term and a long-term cost savings to the state of Wyoming. So I ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Anyone for their first time? We're voting on second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1 has passed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 26. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I apologize for being behind the pillar to present this amendment. I would like to move second reading amendment number 26 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, we have a state elected official and our treasurer who is responsible for $20 billion worth of money management. That's 20 with a B, I mean billion with a B, rather. And this probably won't be the first time I say this today or during our budget debates, but sometimes the penny plan is penny wise and pound foolish, and this is where that is the case. We have cut the state treasurer's consulting budget. Those are the people who make money for the state, make hundreds of millions of dollars for the state. And we need to keep the state treasurer whole, so I would ask for your favorable consideration of this amendment.
Representative Halverson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am going to urge you to vote no on this. If you recall, last year we gave this office 4 new full-time employees at $250,000 each. I think they can live without the $87,000. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And part of the testimony we heard, and I appreciate the bringer of the amendment, was kind of undergone a restructuring. And I think the last testimony about the money we gave last year, and so as we all know, there was turnover of the chief investment officer. We've got really, a fantastic team. And so it was represented to us that more of this can be brought in-house and that I don't think this, that this was not a detrimental reduction. So I'm going to vote no on this and urge you to as well. Thank you.
Representative Byrd, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one question to the body. In your own personal finances, when you get into something that's going to cost you a lot of money, I'm sure that most of you would not take the entirety of your savings and try to invest it by yourself. You would go out and seek expertise. And that's actually what we're doing here. And the dollar amount that this costs, you wouldn't go out and get a first year to defend you on a serious felony or something. You would go out and get the best thing you could. And that's why the money is being expended at that level. And this is why you need those people, because they're expert in the field. They bring this to the agency that we, the expertise that we just don't have in-house.
Representative Nichols, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And folks, you're going to get tired of hearing some of our voices all day today, and probably mine more than anyone else, but that's kind of what we're supposed to do. You know, I think that the concept and the argument is a little bit misplaced, with all due respect to my co-legislator from this county. We spend over $64 million in consulting fees through the state treasurer's office. I mean, you can't, that's a lot of money. All this has to do with is for funding within his office for some certain personnel, and we just did that. We just went through that process last year, and you know, this is not a lot. We're not going to diminish the office by any means. We're probably going to see a request for new positions in the next biennium, and as he builds out and he starts his new staffing. But at this point in time, I just think that we don't need to do it at this time, and we'll cross that bridge when he presents it to us in the future.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I echo what the good representative from Cheyenne, and we'll just have to, we're just talking too much, but we apologize in advance. But just again, this is a reduction to the 900 series, and the good representative from Cheyenne who just spoke, $64 million, and that doesn't account for the funds that are managed with embedded fees. These are only the fees charged, so it's actually more than this. But, again, the testimony was that the reorganization, that this would not be detrimental. Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the correction on the 900 series versus the penny plan. But I'll stick with my original comment, which that is whether it's the penny plan or the cuts from the 900 series. In this case, it is thousands wise and millions foolish. The treasurer has a responsibility for a broad portfolio. Sometimes you need outside consultants to make sure that your embedded managers are actually doing what you need them to do. And I don't think we're actually saving ourselves a single penny, dime, or nickel by cutting the state treasurer's consulting fees. And I think we could suffer down the road. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 26 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 26 to House Bill 1 has failed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've made just about every mistake we can make up here. We're going to go back on the previous amendment, which was second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1. That passed by a voice vote. And that amendment contains a decrease in the fund. Rule 11-3 says, with exceptions, after a voice vote in which the ayes have prevailed, the ayes and noes shall be taken on the motion to adopt any amendment to a mere budget bill which directly increases or decreases an appropriation by the specific dollar amount. So since second reading amendment number 3 passed on a voice vote, a roll call vote's required. Is everybody with me? So the chief clerk will call the roll on second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds. Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Escobel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
no.
Pelkey,
no.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
Sponsor Dan. Sponsor Dave. Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Allen, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 34 aye, 26 no.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1 is passed. Now, the next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading number 4 to House Bill 1. It deletes the footnote about not including the $200K into the 2019-20 budget. It looks like we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves when you're talking about the commission, the Veterans Commission, working with these organizations that contract, that work with Veterans Services. I think we're having a lot of trouble with some of the veterans that are coming back from the recent conflicts. We have homelessness, we have unemployment, we have substance abuse, we have suicides, and they're in the paper every day. And I think it's disheartening. I think we're getting ahead of ourselves again to restrict these contracts. So I urge your aye vote.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, on and against the amendment. I mean, really all the amendment does is it keeps us from looking at it next year. You look at footnote 3, and it just says that we're going to, it shall not be included in the 2019-2020 budget, and that's because this is a new position. It's an expansion of the services that are offered, and so it makes sense that they come back and they talk about how it's worked, and they justify that it needs to continue. So, I mean, if it is, in fact, needed, and we obviously felt it was needed because we added it into the budget, then what's the harm in looking at it in a year and making sure that that's the case? And so I'd ask you to vote no, just so we can make sure and keep track of these services going forward.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Horstman.
You know, and a little more, too, of the story is that, and we've supported the increase of these service officers, and one of these positions currently vacant. I mean, so there's a lot. So we just felt we can come back and look at it again. That's all this is. So thank you for your no vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for my second time. It seems like since we're talking about contracts, that the uncertainty that that person that's working in that position might not actively go out and try and get these services for the veterans in the state because he's not going to know what the future holds. So I think that this type of language is getting ahead of themselves, and it should be an aye vote. Thank you for your yes vote.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 5. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1. And ladies and gentlemen, let me explain this. This is one of these rare budget amendments that puts money back into the general fund. And here's what the deal is. We've had on the books, ever since I've been here, two refund rebate type programs. One's really a refund program because refund means you've paid something and you're getting a refund in it. All right. And the other one is I look to just call it a rebate program or something for being alive. Basically, the one that I'm proposing is decreased is called the is administered out of the Department of Health. It's they say it's a tax rebate program, but the unique thing about it, if you look on page, it'd be page 24 of your Title 39, you can look at the qualifications and what you have to do. But you don't have to even pay any taxes to be a recipient of up to $900, or if you're a single person, $800. All you have to do is be over 65 or under, or 18 and over, as long as you're disabled. And during the testimony of the Appropriations Committee, when this was vetted, you know, there was open comments about the fact that it's abused, and it certainly is if you look at it from the standpoint of how much money it was costing. It's about $9 million per biennium. And so what I want to do is substitute this money or a portion of this money into another refund program that I think is a very quality program. It's highly regarded by the Revenue Department. It's easy to administer, and it's auditable, and it's very popular. It isn't nearly as expensive. Every recipient doesn't get the maximum amount, and the maximum amount is not based on how low your income is, which is counterintuitive when it comes to looking at a tax rebate program. What this does, what the tax refund program does, which is in regard to line two of my amendment, is that for people who meet income guidelines, and these guidelines are is based simply on household income. It's got to be only three-fourths of average county household income. So we got, you know, some counties here with $36,000 or something like that's the maximum income to make you eligible. It's also got some asset limitations, so if you're a millionaire, you're not eligible for it. And it does not count, however, your 401k or any defined benefit retirement program of any kind. So the way it works is you make application, and you will be eligible for it, providing you meet the income and asset guidelines. And the other thing you have to do, which is unlike the other one, is you have to send in proof that you paid your property taxes. And the amount that you're going to be refunded of your property tax is up to half of what you paid for the year, okay? So here's how, you know, I've learned over the years how it works. If you apply for it in June of the year, and they have to go through and research them and make sure they're eligible, then the refund comes to you in the fall. And what people normally do is they take that refund and use that to pay their November taxes, all right? And it just kind of goes around in a circle. They have to pay one half of the year themselves, but the other one we refund half of it. Again, the prototypical person that uses it is, I've learned, is someone that's trying to get by on Social Security, and they have really no other income to help them out. And the idea here is to keep them in their houses longer, also to maybe discourage these kind of practices like getting reverse mortgages and things like that are expensive and not economically sound in many cases. So that's what it is. It adds $2,100,000 to line in to the Revenue Department's tax property tax refund program. It takes away $4,427,000 from the Health Department's low priority health, or actually it's a rebate program. That means that the remaining amount of $2.327 million would revert back to the general fund in this. So if there's any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And And I agree with the intent of what this amendment wants to do, and I'd just like some clarification, if I could, on the Department of Health's budget. You reduce it by that $4.4 million, but I don't see the specifics as to the program that it would cut. So if we cut that amount, will it specifically go to that program that you're talking about, or how is that verified?
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, in a nutshell, what the bringer does is takes a program that is a good program. It's popular, it's well-used, it's controlled, and puts money to that, at the same time removing money from a program that's susceptible to abuse and has been abused in the past. And that, so it gives the money to those who need it without, in effect, distributing money to those who are willing to work the system, as the saying goes. So on and forward, I'd ask for your aye vote.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to go back to what are we actually taking the money from? It looks like we're taking from a big pot to another big pot. Some of it's getting lost in between. So if we like one program and don't like the other, let's be specific about those two programs within the amendment. This has to refer to something in that agency budget, not just the big pots. Otherwise, the Department of Health, which we've granted flex authority to in this very same budget, we're taking away some of their flexibility for things that we're telling them to do without any funding. So if we want to be specific, let's be specific. And I don't see that specificity adequately in this amendment, while I like the idea. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd move to divide the amendment and divide out the lines 1 through 4 and 5 through 9.
Not in my opinion. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Okay, the chair rules that is divisible. Lines 1 through 4 will be section 1. Or division 1, lines 5 through 9 will be division 2. Which one do you wish to proceed on, Representative Nicholas?
I'd move to proceed on the first division, 1 through 4.
Okay, we're on division 1. Does anyone wish to be heard on division 1? Representative Burkhart, for your first time on division 1.
Mr. Speaker, I need a clarification of the rules, considering I've already spoken on the whole amendment and now we've divided it.
Once it's divided, Representative Burkhart, once it's divided, it resets the rule.
Thank you.
You can speak on each division in the rule with the rules that you can't speak more than twice.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
So that's all you wanted to say?
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to hear the representative's explanation of the division.
Representative Connolly, first time on Division 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of Division 1. As the good chairman of Revenue talked about this is a good program. Last year, 2,687 individuals were eligible and received a little over $1 million in refunds. It is a program that is quite means-tested. It requires a five-year residency in Wyoming, assets of less than $115,000, and a requirement that you can't earn more than three-quarters of the median income for the state. On average, that's only $44,000. The most, it's $51,000 for anyone who lives in Teton County. So on and in favor of Division One.
Representative Nicholas, for your first time on Division 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And ladies and gentlemen, you heard me talk about this program yesterday, and we had some conversations about it. And what we did in the appropriations was eliminate the program to the to retain basically $1.2 million into the general fund. And so the question is, then why did we do that? And was it a reasonable thing to do? This program was created in 2003. When we had a lot of extra revenue in our budget coming into our coffers from severance taxes and the like. And so because we had a bunch of extra money, we said, well, we're going to help out some of the folks who are more needy in the community. And so the question now is here, when we had a $250 million shortfall for this year, when we're going to have a $463 million shortfall at a minimum, and that's not including education for the next biennium, at what point in time do we say, okay, we no longer have our coffers aren't full anymore, and so maybe we ought to look at some of the programs that we've done to help folks, which is just a handout, to say, you know, it's time that we all got to suck up and take a little bit for the team and for the state of Wyoming and take those programs where we had extra money and say, look, we just don't have the extra money anymore. And as we talked about this program yesterday, if you have a network of $115,000 per member per household, so you can have a home that's worth $210,000 and you can still apply for this program. And if you're making per unit the medium home of $36,000 a year, then you get a $400 tax rebate. And so the question is that appropriate use of our funds when we're short of a lot of revenues that we just don't have anymore? And in appropriations, our conclusion was this is one of those programs that was nice when we could afford it, but when you're cutting back on basic needs for our operations of government, this one ought to be eliminated or reduced, and that's what we did. So I would submit that if we did not do this, plus we eliminate the program on the second part of this amendment, then we're going to save over $3 million to our general operating funds, and that's what we need to do in this time of budgetary need.
Madam Minority Floor Leader, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have to gently push back on the last speaker's comments. As my good desk mate, now roommate, explained, this is a very restrictive program. We're talking about 2,100,000 dollars. I can't talk this morning. People in our communities who are vulnerable. They are not wealthy. They cannot game the system. And I think the good bringer of the original amendment is the floor's expert on every tax rebate program we have. And I would encourage the body to listen to him. But also, this notion that we don't have money. We have money to take care of our people. We have $1.8 billion in the LISRA, which is just money. And so when our friends on good committee number 2 stand up and repeat, as they will probably as many times today as I say penny wise and pound foolish, that we don't have money, we all know the truth. We just have to be very careful about how we spend it. But we have a LISRA set up for this very specific situation we find ourselves in today. With oil below 30, gas below $2 an MCF, and coal doing whatever coal's going to do. We all know the situation, but how we respond to that tells a lot about us as a body. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor?
Yeah, you get.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, the splitter of this amendment has put us all in a catch-22 here. What I was trying to do is take the moderate approach and take a program that is admittedly not used well, and in favor of that one, we would put the tax refund program. Now, another thing I need to point out to you is that, and I didn't enunciate this very well before, but if you have a $200,000 house, you don't get half of the taxes back. What the maximum you can get is half of the taxes back on the median value house in that, or residence in that area, county. You know, my county's, you know, I suppose probably a little above average compared to the other 23 counties, but the maximum you can get is something like $300 and some because the average, the median value of a house is low. So even if you got a half a million dollar house, you can't get more than 300, you know, if you did. I mean, you can't get more than $300 and some back. So I guess what I would hope that you would do is to vote in favor of Division 1, and then when we get to Division 2, you vote in favor of that too. But that's all I'll say about it.
We're voting on Division 1 to second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1, which is lines 1 through 4 of the amendment. All in favor of Division 1, Representative Nicholas.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Would you clarify on what a yes vote and a no vote is, just because I think there's some confusion when folks have been asking.
Well, we're voting on Division 1, lines 1 through 4. A yes vote votes in favor of lines 1 through 4. A no vote votes against adoption of lines 1 through 4. And it constitutes an increase, so if the ayes prevail, then we'll have a roll call vote on that division. Then we'll go to Division 2, and we'll go through the same rules of debate as to Division 2. So, on Division 1 of Second Reading Amendment Number 5 to House Bill 1, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. Would the ayes please stand? Would the noes please stand? Fewer than 39. Division 1 of Second Reading Amendment Number 5 to House Bill 1 is passed. It involves an increase in the general fund under Rule 11-3. A roll call vote is required. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen,
aye.
Baker,
no.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
no.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Escobel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Halverson, Harshman,
no.
Harvey, Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings, Kasparik, Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
Pelkey, aye.
Petroff, Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 42 ayes, 18 no.
Division 1 of second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1 is passed. We're now on Division 2 of second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1. Chairman Madden. For your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I think I would, well, I know I would urge you to vote in favor of this division for the reasons I've talked about before. Number one is nearly $1 billion budget they have in the health department. This is the lowest priority program that they've got. It's well known that the program is not going to the right people or for the right reasons, and there's no guarantee that it's really needed, that it's actually used to pay for any taxes. It's just kind of a program that, again, was started when we had good times, but it was not well thought out, and it's just been kind of nightmarish to administer, and I just urge you to vote yes for this division.
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, I really like the concept behind this, but I'll try and ask this in a little different way, and it just may be a procedural thing that I need to have clarified for me. But we're pulling this out of a total budget amount that the director of the Department of Health has. So how do we know that this will come out of that specific program in that budget? That's not outlined in here, and so do we just leave that up to, I'm sure that accomplishes it somehow, but I just need to, it's not lined out here. So if you could help me understand that, I'd appreciate it.
Representative Nicholas, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I probably know nobody's surprise. I support this second half of the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With the question that was raised is how can we be sure that the 4.427 million is really going to be this program, and that is transmitted vis-a-vis the appropriations committee to the department, saying that this exact amount is the exact amount that was in their line item for this, and this is what the intent is for this amendment.
We're voting on Division 2 to second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes having prevailed, it involves a decrease in the general fund of roll call votes required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen, Baker, Baldwin, Barlow, Berger, Blackburn, Blake, Burkhart, Byrd, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Escobel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stebson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 8 no.
Division 2 of second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1 is passed. The net effect is that second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1 has passed in its entirety. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1, Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1. And folks, I never really thought I would get up this morning and talk about heroin addiction. But when you have people that have lost children, and it would be so easy to actually give them a shot that would reverse the overdose effects of it, I think it demands an immediate response by this body. And that's why I bring it to you. This amendment would put $20,000 in the AG's budget to provide these overdose kits. It's a drug called naloxone. It immediately would reverse those effects of a heroin overdose. And it's one of those dark subjects we'd like to kick under the rug here. And yeah, I hope you're getting the same emails that I am. You're reading the same articles that I am. I think a lot of states have been proactive in starting these programs. And if I didn't feel as strongly about it, I may not know a lot about the issue. I've never been a heroin addict, but I know that there's problems in our communities, and we're losing our young children to a bad addiction here. So I ask for your favorable vote. Here comes the bad guy.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem,
thank
for
you,
your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment. You know, if you look through this year's budget, we've really tried hard this time not to start new programs in the budget for a couple reasons. One, obviously we don't have the money to do it, but two, we've really taken the approach that, look, if you want to start a new program, we need to have it fully vetted through the committee process, through debate on the floor, and that the budget is not a place to do that. But that's what this does, and actually I think the good representative made a good point. He said lots of states have started this program, and that's what this is. This is starting a program. And remember, every dime we spend today, we're spending out of savings. We have no general fund. Even though these say general fund, every dime we spend today is out of savings. And so I just urge you to vote no. It's when we start new programs, we should do so based upon sustainable funding and not based on the fact that we're going to just spend out of our savings.
Representative Burkhart, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I would ask for somebody to correct me, but I think I just recently read an article where this very medication is going to be available over the counter. We don't need to be providing it. I could be wrong on that, and I could have misread the article, but if it's available over the counter, we don't need to be providing personnel with it.
Representative Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There is potential that this will become an over-the-counter drug, but it's certainly not imminent. I don't anticipate it's going to happen anytime soon. Just to add on to the bringer of this amendment is that the largest population and by far the most abused drug in Wyoming as well as many other states right now is heroin. I don't know how others feel about that, but it was quite a big surprise to me. Heroin, I thought, was something that we saw back in the 60s and 70s, and it went away. But it's not. It's cheap, and it's readily available on the streets of Wyoming. This is a pretty important thing. And Narcan is the other drug. The name for this drug is called naloxone. It's a life-saving drug. It's a life-saving drug until the person gets into the emergency room or to more care. But without the drug, certainly these people don't have a chance. So if we don't encourage it here, I think it's something we need to discuss down the road, but I would encourage support of the amendment.
Representative Moniz, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a few questions. Who gets the flow of these kits? How many does it provide? And if we don't provide them, will first responders have the kits anyway? I'd assume they might have them regardless of whether we provide this or not. Thank you.
Representative Winters, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And on and against this particular amendment, one of the things that concerns me is that new programs like this, which start with all sorts of great intention, eventually become an unfunded mandate later, and then these companies are going to have to start providing them. It'll become a program now that gets rolled over into the company. So it starts with some sort of wonderful intention, and I appreciate some of the testimony that's been presented here, but I'm concerned about a potential unfunded mandate later.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The costs are roughly about $50 per kit, so if every county had it, there'd probably be 10 in every county, maybe 20 if it went for the biennium. But I knew we'd probably hear something about creating programs in the budget and funding programs in the budget. Well, we just took the program out of the budget, and we just took the funding out of the budget on a program. So it's kind of like when my parents used to say, do as I say, not as I do.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 36, Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With that, I would like to introduce second reading amendment number 36 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this does is it's within the consumer, it deals with the Consumer Advocate's Office. And I don't know if any of you took the time to read their publication they sent out to us just before the session started. And I did, and as I read it, I still couldn't quite understand where they were doing anything different than what the commission that they are housed under already does for the ratepayers here in the state of Wyoming. And so with that, this amendment decreases their special revenue funds by half, provides for 1 year of funding, and then it would allow that would then make it go away. What that does additionally is those special revenue funds, if after the biennium are not unused, then they roll back into the general fund, is my understanding. So we would see a little increase in revenue through to the state of Wyoming and do away with a layer of bureaucracy here. So please support amendment number 36.
Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Office of Consumer Advocate. So in my history of state government, I worked in the executive branch when we started this office, and I've been here in this body through three sunsets now. We keep extending it. And I really, I mean, I can argue the merits of the program, but you're going to get a chance, I assume, because there is a bill in the other body that's making its way, assumably, to the House that discusses terminating the OCA in 2017. And I think that's a much more appropriate place to have this discussion. I think they have six employees right now. I don't think we wipe out programs and employees or the state and budget amendments, at least not in my tenure. So not really debating the merits of the office, if it's good, bad, or indifferent, but I don't believe we should take this step only because, you know, these are special funds, but it doesn't mean they're not state employees. And if you want to debate the merits of the OCA, we should see it next week.
Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And it's just a general question. I'd like, we heard by the bringer of the amendment that there's duplicate actions happening between the Public Service Commission and the this advocacy side of them. And I was wondering if there's specific examples in that publication that you saw that you could provide to the body.
Madam Minority Floor Leader, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can answer both the questions of the last presenter and then the initial questions of the sponsor, because I have practiced, not recently, but I have practiced in front of this commission. The Public Service Commission is an adjudicative body, so they're a mini court. They hear cases related to the public utilities that operate in our state. They cannot advocate for one side or the other. They have to remain neutral, just like any judge. So the role of the consumer advocate, which I believe we passed in 2003, I believe, was the first time, is to represent consumers. The broad group of consumers who typically cannot afford their own attorney to advocate on the broad class of consumers' behalf. I mean, certainly it's worth looking at the program, but again, I think I also agree with the good chairman that you know, we'll have this opportunity in a bill. Thank you.
Representative Barlow, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to know what the source of the special revenue funds are. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Zwanitz or Dan?
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer the last question, they are assessments on utility companies in the state. A little bit more on what the OCA does to follow the other representative from Laramie County. So when we have rate cases and it affects your utility bills, most of you don't go and sit for 3 days in front of the Public Service Commission and fight as a single advocate that you don't want your power bill to go up or down. And so that's really what the OCA does. They represent all consumers and try to give the other view besides whichever utility is coming in for a rate change. It's just on behalf of the public. And so we have had it around since 2003, and as I told you earlier, I've survived three discussions on this body, and we're going to have another one, I guess. But I would just say you don't just cut half a year's funding, because then we'll be back next year in a supplemental budget, and I just ask you to vote no at this time, and we can have the debate next week.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer a couple of those questions, one, the statement about them advocating on behalf of individuals, it says in their very enabling acts in our green statute books that the consumer advocate shall not advocate for on behalf of any individual, organization, or entity. This is just a way you can go about having some of your ideas heard, but you will not be intervened on just individually on your behalf. And as to the cutting it, the funding in half, it is for 1 year. That, in my opinion, allows them to clean up what they have going on, finish up what activities they have going on, and a step-down approach of going out of business, if you will. If we were to cut all the funding, they'd be gone tomorrow, and then that would be six employees and a little bit tougher to swallow. But this is a step-down approach to removing a duplication in government.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 36 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 36 to House Bill 1 has failed. And ladies and gentlemen, I might just point out we have 43 amendments left. And I'm reminded of a tweet I saw this morning from an individual who's out in the aquarium, you know who you are, who said, this deal is like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime, but you can't leave. Okay, division has been requested on the last amendment, second reading amendment number 36. All in favor signify by standing. All opposed, please stand. Really, is it tie? Second reading amendment number 36 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1, and I ask for your favorable consideration. Members, you're going to have to indulge me a tiny bit. I will be brief, but indulge me in a little story. The program that the our friends on committee number two virtually eliminated with this cut, this $100,000 cut, was the brainchild of a good former president who's no longer with us, that conservation cowboy from Casey, Wyoming. This was his baby. And you may wonder why I remember that. Well, I'm going to tell you a story from my freshman year as quickly as I possibly can. So it was a Minerals Committee bill, Senate File 85, in the 2007 General Session that created the Wyoming Conservation Corps. And I was pretty terrified of the other body back then, still sort of terrified of them. But I was really afraid of the good Senate president from KC. And one day in the hall, right there in the Capitol, in front of the LSO office, he stopped me. And he said, "Mary, we're not going to have any trouble with that bill over there, are we?" I'm like, "I don't think so." And he said, "Well, Mary, you know, you get a lot more done around here by what you say privately to people than what you say at the mic." And I thought to myself, oh, he's really saying, "Mary, don't go to the mic and kill my bill." And so, unfortunately, I can't follow that advice, because the only way I can revive this program is to be up here telling you guys that story. So the Wyoming Conservation Corps funding that was cut, it was just $100,000 to state parks. It funds programs and work performed by university students who are learning about conservation issues. And I emailed you all information about the program. In addition, if I can find it, I did also ask the agency how much money they actually save because of this program. So essentially, these students do work in our state parks to benefit the public for much less than any private contractor could do the work. We have appropriated each year through an exception request $100,000 for this program, maybe not each year, each biennium, since 2009-2010. And I believe that would include the severe recession year when we did make some pretty dramatic cuts. So what I'm asking for is the $100,000 back to honor the legacy of the good cowboy from KC.
Chairman Petroff, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment. So this department has lost employees over that period of time since the 2009 biennium. And these students have provided critical operations for these state parks. They have worked on trails. They've constructed trails at Kirk Gowdy Park, Glendale Park. They've done maintenance projects. They have done flood remediation. They have done wildland fire prevention, things that we just would not have had the money to do if we had not had these low-paid employees. And it helps connect young people with jobs. There aren't, you know, it's actually hard to find a job when you're a college student, because the place where the college students live is pretty limited as to the jobs that they have. And so this helps young people get job experience, and it certainly helps to fill in the gaps for where we've had to cut employees in the parks, and I encourage your aye vote.
Representative Gurr, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to be clear that this program has an ongoing funding of $100,000. What was denied by the JAC was a request for an additional $100,000. It was an exception request that was denied, and weighing the priorities that worked through this, and I'll pull the budget book out and I'll read it. Matter of fact, I got it right here, so maybe I'll just read it so I can. view on. Historically, the department received a $100,000 appropriation for this program. This request includes an additional $100,000 to be used by the State Trail Crew Grant. That's on page 72 of the budget for the agency. So you can look at that and work your way through it. Anyway, again, your JAC worked through the budget. We prioritized. We made the cuts. And the body has a will to do what it wants to do on these programs. Just want to make sure you got the facts in front of you.
Representative Connolly, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, and with all due respect to my colleague on the JAC, that isn't correct. There was an exception request for $100,000. The first thing that we did was to deny that exception request. We then went in and we deleted the $100,000 that was part of the standing budget. The reason that the Parks Division came in and asked for the exception request was because they were so successful with the original $100,000 or with the existing $100,000 that was being used by the Conservation Corps kids in terms of doing regular park maintenance. The exception request was going to have them do some preservation work on top of that. So it's important to support this amendment to bring us back to what the Conservation Corps has been doing.
Representative Freeman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been on TRW for over 3 years and have gone and seen these people's work. The fire that was up in Guernsey Park, they were the ones who cleared off the land, replanted, and made things work. Last year we went to Kirk Gowdy Park, and then we listened to where the trails that were made by this organization had a significant impact on the number of visitors that went to the park. And then after that, we heard from business owners in the capital city that said that this has really improved their business with bicycles and hiking. In my part of the world, they've also worked on Sage core areas in the Trona Patch. My uncle was part of the CCC, which this is benefited on. And whenever I go through Yellowstone Park or the Valley of the Tetons, there is my uncle's work. I think that this is a similar program, has a similar legacy, and I think that we should continue to go forward.
Chairman Madden, for your first time.
I'll be very brief, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. The first thing I think needs to be clarified is that this isn't just limited to parks. I was on one of these. I wasn't part of the youth, obviously, that did it, but I did cook for them, and it wasn't in a park. It was in a part of a national forest, and I think you can, you know, city or government, county parks or whatever could also use it. The other final thing I want to have clarified is this an exception budget that we're cutting or not? Because that would change my vote.
Representative Stubson. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me see if I can unwind this a little bit. So my good colleague was not correct, and I will, but he had a legitimate reason to not be correct. We did cut the $100,000. So we did zero out this program, and I apologize. In part, our summary sheet had an erroneous note on it, and ours is a little older version than yours is, and that's what we were relying upon. So just for clarification purposes, just for your vote, we did zero out the Conservation Corps in this budget. And again, I mean, that was it was a priority decision that as we went through and cut programs in the budget and tried to cut entire programs instead of weakening programs across the board, we made that priority decision. So I'd still, even though we might have been a little wrong, I would still urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And a question for the bringer of the amendment. My understanding is there is a significant amount of private funding and contributions that go to this program. If our funding in this that's out of our appropriations bill, it still has the ability to move forward. It just doesn't have the $100,000 that comes out of our general budget dollars. And then, once again, folks, I would go back to what our discussions were throughout the day, and is this a core, a general core of government services that we're supposed to be providing? It's a wonderful program, and maybe we could bring a bill, but I don't know that it should be in our appropriations. And when push comes to shove, is this what we're supposed to be funding as opposed to the operations of state government?
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in support of this amendment. It's a very good program. I do want to reference an email sent by the bringer of the amendment. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at that. There's some stats on there that should be maybe discussed, I think. In 2015, nearly 20,000 hours of public service were provided on Wyoming public lands. Over 25 miles of trails were built or maintained. Over 20 miles of fence were built. 10 square miles of noxious weeds were removed. Over 1,000 mountain pine beetle killed trees were felled. Over 50 staircases were built. This is an important project. My son went through it. It's a benefit to the kids and the state. So I would sure encourage you to vote for it.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I just want to clarify that this department has lost in the last few years, or has cut, rather, 3 full-time employees and 10 seasonal employees. It's these WCC positions that have been able to fill in those gaps at a much lower price, much more efficiently. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to get some number crunching going on here, because our good cowboy friend was also fiscally conservative, and I think maintaining this program is consistent with his fiscally conservative values. So the 2 miles of base, and I'm using information from our state parks, 2 miles of basic light trail construction would cost approximately $32,000 with a private contractor, while the Wyoming Conservation Corps can build the same 2 miles of trail in a 10-day, 8-person crew hitch for $11,500. This represents a cost savings of 64%. And the information I've also been provided goes on to say that there are also rural areas where they sometimes cannot even find a contractor to do this work. So it's a good program. It's cost-effective. It provides basic services that support our state parks, which, as all of you know, also at least generate indirect sales tax revenue in the communities where they're located. And maintaining them and making them destination spots for our citizens and for out-of-staters is an important function, legitimate function, of government. And so, again, I would ask for your I vote, and let's keep the program alive that came from KC. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, would the ayes please stand? 31. Second reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1 has passed a voice vote. It involves an increase in the general fund under Rule 11-3. A roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen, no. Baker, no. Baldwin,
aye.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
no.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
no.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
no.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Escobel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman, Harvey, Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 32 aye, 28 no.
Second reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1 is passed. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, as it was mentioned earlier, there's a WAMI luncheon today. Those of you who are interested in going, if you would make those arrangements with the majority floor leader so she'd know who is attending caucus and who is not. There's several of us that are carpooling. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we'll be doing that too. So thank you. As time is getting close to the lunch hour, we could some of us could go to that reception. That would be good in luncheon. Thank you.
We're now on second reading amendment number 7. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move second reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1. Members, what this is to the School Facilities Department, Agency 27, and it's not an increase in appropriation. It's just part of their appropriation is effective immediately. In statute, we do this building evaluation every 4 years. And so this would allow this to get started quicker so we can get the data back for the $80 million that's in the school capital construction. And so we have the most up-to-date data when we come back to appropriate next year. So that's all this is. It's not an increase. It's just a portion of their budget so they can get started with this evaluation. So I'd stand for any questions.
Chairman Northrup.
I stand in approval of this amendment. I think it's a great idea. Let's get that put together and get going. And the coach has got a great thing going. Let's keep it moving.
Further discussion? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 7, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Amendment 7 passes. We're now on to second reading amendment number 50. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move second reading amendment number 50 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, in the supplemental budget last year, we appropriated $2.5 million in funding for the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund. I guess this is my conservation day at the mic. In any event, this program provides meaningful projects that help preserve habitat across the state, as well as preserve the ability for us to continue to mine the resources that fund our economy. Because through this program and others, we are able to make the argument that we are protecting species, and we don't need the federal government to come in and hammer us with their ridiculous ESA. So what I propose in this budget amendment is different than what you have seen and what you've seen for a number of amendments. The money comes from the spending policy reserve account, which is where the money would have come, where the money was appropriated from essentially last year in the supplemental budget. So I'm basically taking it from the same pot of money. There's some complexities to that, but somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure. But in any event, essentially the income from the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. It continues our investment in this program. We've been slowly building up the corpus whenever we can. It is important for our long-term viability of our open space and our habitat, which, as I said, supports the minerals industry, but of course also supports our tourism, hunting, fishing, the whole gamut of what we do here. So I would appreciate your aye vote.
Further discussion? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple things. I think, first of all, where this is appropriated from. I'd encourage us to be cautious and have that discipline on this. And referring to the appropriations out of this account from last year, I'll take that one because I'll bite that hook. And you'll remember the $10 million for the Carbon County Road. That was, I would just say that was a let-me-down easy appropriation. I think everyone knows that that road was not going to be built, but we wanted to let that down easy. That will expire. Then the loan for the capital, of course, is out of there, which we are making the payments on. But I would, if this is a worthy thing, just straight up general fund. I mean, just fund it out of the general fund. That's what I'd encourage us, the discipline of that. Secondly, I would just say in regards to this agency 39, so in the budget there's $8 million in projects. They currently have $30 million in their project account, and nine of that, after the eight this year, nine of it is unobligated. So I think there's still plenty of money in there for projects, and so I would encourage our no vote on this.
Representative Burkhart, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge you to vote no on this. The agency did not ask for this money. As we discussed the other day when we discussed this section of the budget, this was put in here for transparency so that people could see in the budget how much was there for these projects, which is $8 million, and there's still $30 million in there. I have some concerns about just handing over money, again, as the previous speaker said, and especially where it comes from. So I would urge your no vote on this. The money's there. The fund keeps building. It keeps generating interest that we use well. Some of their bigger projects are starting to wind down. We might not have as many in the future. And while it provides habitat, as we've argued on this floor numerous times and debated the issue of access to that habitat, so I would urge your no vote.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have sat in my chair a lot and heard that we have to have disciplined savings and that we always have to put some more money into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund and other assorted trust funds that we have. This is an attempt to go forward to put a minimal amount of money to build up the corpus. I serve on the task force that approves the large projects that come out of that program. Right now, most of our partners are finishing large projects, and that's why there isn't a lot of money that is being appropriated this year. The other thing that I think that you should remember is that we will not get a lot of donations to the corpus of this trust fund. What happens is different organizations, corporations, and people that want to participate in these projects. What they would like to do instead is to increase their money by donating to a project and then having some money come out of the trust fund. So I would encourage you, vote your conscience on this. I think it's a good pattern to continue to save if we're doing that in other places. But so far the actual programs that are started out of this programs are good for this year.
Anyone else for your first time? First time? For your second time before the sponsor? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, just to be clear, Mr. Chairman and members, on line 10 of the amendment, the purpose of this proposed amendment is for trust projects, not for the corpus of the fund. And so it says that clearly on line 10. And, you know, this body's done a great job of building up the corpus. I think it's over $100 million now. And then I think also the amendment that's on the ballot this year will allow that to be invested like a permanent trust fund instead of an agency pool and allow even greater return. So, and again, if you think this is worthy, I just encourage us straight up right out of the general fund. So I'd urge your no vote.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you. And the intent of the amendment was to put it in the corpus. So if I failed in that intent, I would certainly commit to fixing that. The goal of the corpus when we established it was to reach $200 million. And we started this process in 2005. We have not reached the $200 million. The good chairman of appropriations is exactly correct. If we fund the corpus and then we allow, and then the people of Wyoming allow broader investment, the corpus will make a lot of money for these projects. But it has to be at a sufficient pot of money to generate the income that will sustain these projects long after we're gone. So, with the caveat that I will fix it if this isn't the way it's supposed to be, that's what happens on second reading amendments. That's why we have third reading amendments. I would urge your aye vote.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 50, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Amendment 50 has failed. We're now on amendment 28. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move committee of the whole amendment. Let's see. No, this is second reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1. This amendment does not request any more money. It doesn't put any more money back. It just requests a couple of our agencies to go out there and talk up Wyoming at some of the largest mineral-related conferences in the world. The conferences I've been through in the past, I don't see Wyoming presence at all. A lot of states, Nevada, Texas, some others, have presence at these conferences. A lot of countries have presence at these conferences. I think in light of where we are in Wyoming revenue-wise, in light that we need a diversified economy, as much as I like any type of job for our people here in Wyoming, the ones that pay the bills in Wyoming in state government are the ones that we can collect taxes on. So, i.e. mineral production somewhere. This will get folks out there, just a couple, and it's a small effort, but over time, I think it'll pay bigger dividends, and I want to make sure they go to these things. I can't tell them exactly what conference to go to. The largest one in the world used to be in the U.S., in the area near the Silver Valley in the state west to us. That's been 20, 30 years ago. The one now happens to be in the country north of us, and so these won't be a cheap conference to go to. It'll be $2,000 or $3,000, maybe $4,000 per person, but it gets the Wyoming name out there. It gets the geologists talking about Wyoming geology. It gets the people in our business group talking about what kind of programs are available to help encourage them to come take a look at Wyoming. And again, it's a way to diversify our economy away from the carbon-based fuels and get something else in production to help generate the tax revenue we need.
So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Vice Chairman Blake, for your first time.
Rising in support of this amendment with the huge lithium deposits, rare earth minerals around the state. This is something we need to get out there, so I support.
Further discussion on House Bill 28, or on Amendment 28. Seeing none, question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 28, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Amendment 28 has passed second reading. We're now on Amendment 35. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you second reading amendment number 35 to House Bill 1 and would ask for your favorable consideration. As you'll note, page 26, line 9, what we're simply doing here is reinstating a request that was stricken by the JAC for $4 million that would reinstate funding to the WildLink system. Mainly what this is intended to do, I know we've been hearing quite a bit lately about this system, and there may be some mixed feelings about it, but mainly what this aims to do is expand some of its coverage in places where there are certainly right now gaps in the coverage and where it may be spotty. This is going to several communities around the state. The main intent of this, the idea would be to purchase some portable enhancement towers that would give a boost to some of these regions where the coverage might not be as strong as it could be. I got some notes here. It's not necessarily in a handout form, but I'm sure that I can also, some of the others who may wish to speak on this could elaborate a little bit further. But there are some vital areas where there is not coverage currently. Some of that is in Goshen County. Some of that is kind of over at the south end of the Bighorn Basin and also in around Teton County. And so that is the idea of this amendment. And at that time, this time, I would stand for question. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just can't support this. I think we put a lot of money. I've heard $100 million in this thing. I've heard from our law enforcement folks. It just doesn't work there, and we heard that they have covered 98% of the state, and yet we just got through here in a lot of areas, so I'm not sure 100 or 98 is even close. But this $400 million out of the general fund right now, I just can't think we'd want to support this. This has been kind of a black hole for us. And it hasn't worked, and yet we keep appropriating and appropriating. I think it's time to back off this and let those folks see what they want to do with it. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge you to strongly resist this amendment. WildLink currently, I think the best number we can get, has spent $100 million. The program was originally for Highway Patrol, and they tell us they have covered 98% of the highway patrol. Now the communities want in, which is fine. They want to be able to communicate. That the thing is, if they want to participate, I think they should build their own towers, provide their own people with radios, and, in effect, ante up. We've developed the system for the state, and this will be a continuing expense. I can tell you that now. 2 years ago, we asked the department how much money this would cost in the future, and until they went and got some numbers, their answer was, we don't know. And then they started varying over how much hardware, software, material would have to be replaced, installed new. This, I will tell you now, is a never-ending project. Our successors in here years from now will still be debating this. I would urge you to strongly resist this amendment. It's $4 million that would come out of the general fund that could go to other places. The towns and counties, if it's that important to them, I think they can support it out of the money we give them and out of their other revenues that they support their emergency services out of. Many of the communities, counties, want to participate. On the other side, many do not. So if the ones don't,
they take a hit in effect by providing funding for those who do. So I would urge you to resist this amendment. We still don't really have a handle on WyoLink, and like I said, this will be a never-ending appropriation.
Representative Laux, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I speak in opposition to this amendment, whether it's $4 million or $40 million or $400 million. This is a black hole, and we've put a lot of money into it, and we'd be better off as a state buying every woman, man, and child in the state a phone with a bunch of apples on it and giving it to them. Please vote against this. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hard act to follow. But I am on and for the amendment based on the premise that what we're talking about here, folks, has to do with towers. Now, towers, whether you like the current WyoLink system or not, with towers, you can put whatever system you want up there. There's the beauty of a tower is you just change out the dish. So this can be extended in the future. And when we're talking about this black hole, this ever-changing black hole, ever-changing technology, ladies and gentlemen, technology advances. And because of that advance in technology and our local sheriffs and these entities needing to be able to communicate at a statewide basis, because you have different entities involved, when that technology advances, you need to stay up to date. And it is true. This is something that our predecessors will be paying for because technology does advance. And with that advance, we can either ask our local sheriffs and the highway patrol to go back to conventional and hope the wind's not blowing too hard or that ridge isn't too high, or we can actually stay in 2016 and keep moving forward with technology. And I would ask you to vote in favor of this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in favor of the amendment, I've heard a few times this is called a black hole. I would encourage you to think of it as a long tunnel, and we're now seeing the light at the end of that long tunnel. We've invested a lot of money we've invested a lot of money into this system, and we are seeing the end of it. Can we promise there aren't going to be any more appropriations? Of course there are. As the previous speaker talked about, you know, there are going to be upgrades. But really, this is the last of the main infrastructure, is $4 million and then another $4 million in the next biennium that builds up the last nine towers, and we're there. And so it really helps to add value to the investment we've already put into the project.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, we need to prioritize our spending, and we know there's going to be an ask from local governments for more direct distributions coming down the pike, so we've just got to prioritize this and not get too out of control here. Just a gentle pushback on my good colleague from the same place. Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? Chairman's the one, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In our committee, the Transportation Committee, we heard testimony over the interim, and I can just tell you that it's not all about just the towers. It is about the hardware and the software, and the testimony we heard is the fact that if we don't upgrade the software, everything kind of becomes obsolete. And I kind of felt like we are going to have to continue putting more and more investment into the system. Now, I agree with the former speaker and appreciate the fact once we get the towers up, then we're pretty much set. But to keep the system running year in and year out, I'm not sure what the testimony was in appropriations later in the year, but I know when they testified in front of our committee, there was a substantial cry that they needed more money to keep the thing just functioning.
For your first time, Representative Dayton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this amendment, I agree with some of our previous speakers that our priorities have to be, we have to prioritize our spending. But don't you think that one of those priorities must be emergency responders? On and for the amendment.
Vice Chairman Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, I would agree the horse is out of the barn. We've invested a lot of money in this program, but basically these are for towers. To increase the efficiency of the existing system. The existing system does work. Just an additional comment, the little phones with apples on them do not work everywhere. That's why the WyoLink system exists, so these law enforcement agencies and firefighters and whatever can communicate with each other throughout the state. But I'm not sure this is the time to spend $4 million on towers when the system is functioning at the present time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And one, I'd like to apologize for the last time I spoke because I was wrong. I was reading off an outdated summary sheet, which is why we give that disclosure that the summary sheets are not official. So, but with that, everyone should have received an email regarding the WildLink presentation. And I just want to comment, when we look at the needs that was presented on this, they're looking at this upcoming biennium, the needs being $16 million. And then in 1920, the needs are listed at $19 million. And that's on page 23 of that handout that you received. What we heard in JAC was the $4 million were for portable towers. And they were looking at $4 million in this biennium. And then, if I remember correctly, another $4 million. They had identified several areas throughout the state. And what those portable towers are for the handheld portable devices within that. And that was one of the things that we looked at, is with the transition from a free system to a user pay system that we've all heard about. Okay? The thought of the JAC was that we need to see how this pay-for-use system works before we expand the system any further. And I still think that is a good approach to this. Is so I would resist this amendment, and speaking against the amendment, let's see how this new system of pay-for-use works. Let's see how our local governments continue to utilize the system when it's not free before we continue to expand this.
Still on first times, Mr. Minority Caucus Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment, besides the WildLink interest in here, there are counties that do economic development and public safety. They are all very interested in the WildLink system because that black hole that was referred to earlier is when first responders and other law enforcement and public employees actually drop off the grid when they can't be tracked or communicate back with their agencies. So it is really important to finish out this grid so that we remove these spots and these people can stay in contact, this crucial contact with the rest of their agencies, the controllers that are and the dispatchers that run their emergency agencies. So on and for the amendment, I think just because the local counties and the local municipalities really are expecting us to finish this project.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time before the sponsor. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple clarifications. These are for portable towers for the local communities and portable radios for the EMS people. They all want their own system. If you ask them, the fire department wants their own frequencies, EMS wants their own frequencies, police department wants their own frequencies, the county wants their own frequencies. All of that adds up to costs. And these are for small towers within the communities. These are not the big towers for the overall system. The towers for the overall system, someone said we can put other things on them. That was suggested, I believe, the last budget or the budget before, and the testimony was, no, we can't do that. The other signals will interfere with ours. So the towers are freestanding. Now, the system works. It's just, who do you think should pay for the local communities to have access to that system? Should they pay themselves? I think there's another amendment about that, but there's money in there to help them ease into this user pay-for-use system. And that, or do you think the state should pay for it in its entirety? And it will be a big expense. If you looked at that handout that was emailed to all of us, you can see in there how much these are going to cost, what they will and will not cover, and what communities. And that. So I ask you to consider all of that when you vote. And I, again, would urge you your no vote on this.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to point out a couple of clarifications. There was a speaker or two who said that that local communities and local governments should be a little bit more self-sufficient, and I generally agree with that, but they have been. They have invested local funds into this system, into this program already, and so I fear that if we do not allow this to go through, that we're kind of cutting this off and leaving them out to dry to a certain extent. Furthermore, while these aren't the bigger towers that are the permanent ones that uplink across the state, being portable, I think that gives them an advantage. They can be taken wherever they may need, people may need them to be. They can be set up in emergency situations on site for first responders, for whatever the situation may call for. Good example I can think of is last summer in a community that I represent, at about 3 in the morning, they had a massive flash flood go straight down through their downtown area and knocked out power, knocked out phone service for a couple of days. And in this kind of a situation, portable devices like this, I think, could be very helpful to first responders and for citizens on the ground caught right in the middle of such a situation. So anyway, I would urge your support for this, and hope you vote aye. Thank you.
We are on second reading amendment number 35. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Amendment 35 has failed. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, just a quick privilege of the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Just before we break for lunch, there's a handout in your box, pretty significant handout, and I think we all want to have the correct information. And part of this whole burn rate issue, and I think we had some discussion of it kind of towards the end yesterday, has my initials, House District 37, says Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account burn rates, with and without, without and with, I guess, the full spa. And really, you know, as we've done our work in appropriations, you'd simply say, okay, if we're going to spend $200 million for the biennium out of the LSRA, then you would take that $200, divide it by half to get a yearly rate, and then you would just divide that by the $1.8 billion. And so we quickly, you know, at least I was working these kind of burn rates in my head. And I think yesterday, in one of some of the testimony, I think I said we're currently at 6.6, and I was inaccurate on that. And it's more, you can see it there, it's about 5.5. And so let me just explain this. And I did some scribbling on it. I drew that line down, dividing it. And so you can see the next 4 fiscal years, 17, 18, 19, and 20. And each one of those just has a scenario. If you spend $100 million out of the LSRA for the biennium, let's just take the very top line and go from left to right. You can see the LSRA beginning balance, $1.8 billion, 18118746277. Spending per biennium, $100 million, that would be $50 million per year. That burn rate would be 2.76%. That makes sense? And then if you... But then keep in mind, Senate File 46, we passed into law that has what I call the refueling or the replenishment of, it's that part over 2.5% up to 5%. Remember that split, 1.25% equally to the LSRA and to the SIPA. Part of our budget proposal was to save the SIPA. Okay? So really there's two scenarios. The part on the left, the 2.76%, if we spend $100 million in the biennium, $50 million a year, is with no SPA, with no investment earnings over 2.5%. Okay, and we don't go to the full 5% spending policy amount. And then if you see that little line, and I drew down the middle dividing it, that portion to the right is with the full SPA, and I've circled that at the bottom. So to the left is no SPA. Spending policy amount, 5%, and then to the right is the full SPA, the spending policy amount of 5%. And so you can see then the beginning balance And then the amount to the LSRA with the full spa, that refueling is $83 million. And so then that would take the burn rate, the LSRA would actually grow. Now, if you go back to the left again on 2017, and I put the little asterisk and a pen there, that's basically where this budget is at. We're like $210 million. That's a $200 million scenario. You see as you go from left to right, third column, spending per biennium, $200 million. We're like at 207. That number's going to move depending on what actions we take, if we pass bills or increase or decrease spending. But we're so say that's kind of where we're at. That's $100 million per year. So that burn rate is 5.52% for next year for 17. Now, if we get the full spa amount, it'd refill $83 million. The burn rate would be 0.9%, less than a percent. And then if we spend more this session and he's increased spending for the biennium by another $100 million, so that'd be $300 million spent out of the LSRA, $150 million per year. I'm just going left to right. That'd be a burn rate of about 8.28%. And then if we get refueling, if we get strong investment returns up to the 5% spa, that would replenish that and reduce the burn rate to 3.7%. So then you see, so we basically just have three scenarios. One that spends $100 million less per biennium than what we currently are proposing. One that spends roughly $100 million more than what we're currently proposing. And so you can just see, I want everybody to have these facts, because when I said yesterday 6.6%, I was mistaken. I mean, I was just taking that, whirling the numbers in my head. And so then if you go to 18, and you can see the scenario, what we've proposed with the asterisk is around $200 million. The burn rate increases because you've decreased the size of the corpus, right? So it's a little bit more, 5.84%. And then if you have replenishment. And then so on going down for the next 4 years. I mean, you could run this out for 10 years. So that's kind of, that gives you the facts. And when you're debating these things, well, it's just information that I think we all need to have. And so, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions on this or certainly be available to lunch. Okay. Members want to talk about this. So I just want everybody to have all the information.
Thanks.
What the committee's thinking.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking of lunch, I move that the House adjourn until 1:30.
Okay.
And with that, also, Mr. Chairman, your Republican caucus will meet in room L51.
Before we recess, committee announcements. Mr. Minority Caucus Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Democratic Minority Caucus will not meet here, but they will be going to the whammy lunch.
Seeing no other announcements, we're adjourned in recess. Yeah, Mr. Pending committee announcement, please hold. Chairman Harshman, committee announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just trying to pull it up here. House Committee Number 2 Appropriations will meet at 1 p.m. or soon thereafter for re-referred bills, House Bill 97, Wolf Depredation Compensation, and House Bill 117, Pesticide Applicator Certification Program Funding.
Okay. We're recessed until 1:30.